Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and I want to welcome you to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to welcome all of our listeners and viewers with Christian Television Network and all of our audience all around the world. Yeah, I'm excited about today's program, and we've been having, you know, we have four programs back to back. And in the event that you missed it, some of them, and you're just joining us now, feel free to go to VFNTV.com, and you can, you know, go to the torch, and you can see all of the segments, and you can continue along with us. But we've just been having some great conversations, and in today's program, we're going to be sharing some great stuff. I know that Steve has a word on in his heart about abiding and the power of abiding. But before we get to that, let me introduce with us the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And of course, hello, Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
In the house.
Looking
fresh.
Present, sir.
Yes, fully gelled up and ready to go. Man, he's styling and profiling, isn't he?
You know, I don't think that Pat can get that hair looking like that without gel.
Actually, I was talking about your gel.
That's very nice.
There is no gel on his hair, buddy.
I think it's one of those just disappearing ones.
Disappearing ones.
Okay, All right.
Looks what? Nice.
We didn't talk about this improv stuff. We gotta talk about this stuff.
We gotta talk about this
criteria. We need to have criteria.
Can't say that. Okay.
Okay. But come back, because I want you to share with us. We're gonna be talking about what the Lord laid on your heart, Steve, during your abiding time. Mm-hmm. It's powerful, and we're gonna be sharing some recent happenings with AT&T, which is pretty encouraging. For the move of God that's coming, you know, they may not be knowing it, but hey, maybe they're getting their systems prepared for it. But really, really cool stuff. Steve, talk to us about what the Lord's laid on your heart, man, about abiding and obedience.
Well, you know, in some recent programs I've talked about, you know, Saul's conversion and when God just encountered him on the road to Damascus, and I just really can't leave where that just awesome encounter. And I've just been in the same in Acts and just digging deeper and just staying on that. And as I was just reading in that, I thought about just kind of like there were significant moments that led up to that. You know, Saul had no idea. That was a pivotal moment for his life. That was a significant moment for the church. But what also just really spoke to me was the fact that was a significant day for Ananias. Mm. And I read that, and it's just like, and you know, the Bible just says the fact that there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. And I just thought about that because it's just like, I mean, you can kind of just picture the morning. Okay. Mm. Ananias gets up, makes himself a cup of coffee, sits down, has a journal or papyrus or whatever he had. And he has a vision, right? Mm. And he hears God call his name. But the thing about it, though, is like he had to go through a season to know the Lord's voice. He had to hear God's voice. Someone had to train him up. Somebody had to witness to Ananias. You know, and it doesn't say in the word, you know, who that was, but God knows who that was. Mm-hmm. So you think about it, Ananias was a disciple. He had to be raised up and trained. It's just like Ananias had an abiding relationship. He knew the voice of the Lord, and he responded to it. And the amazing thing is, though, he had no idea at that moment that he had an appointment with Saul. Mm-hmm. And I just think about that, and it just says, and he just responded. He says, "Yes, Lord." He answered. He knew that God was just calling him. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the Bible talks about that conversation back and forth, and he's like, you know, Lord, do you know who this is? And God was using Ananias to go witness to Saul.
And isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and that just really blows me away because it's just like such of the significant moments, because we can think about the awesome things that God used through Paul. And I think about that, it's just like...
Steve, I was thinking about this. And imagine if Ananias did not abide that morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if Ananias did not abide that morning.
Wow.
You know, if you... The times that you get tempted to stay in bed, or it's like, wait a minute,
Yes.
You know, abiding is not something I have to do, something that I get to do. And he didn't know that in that time of seeking God, God was going to unveil something that would affect the entire church forever.
Yeah. And that was just so powerful to me because Ananias had no idea that that morning God was going to use Ananias to reach Paul, to reach the generations. We are still reading about what God did through Paul.
Thank you, Ananias. Thank you for biting.
Thank you for being hungry for God. Thank you for waking up and saying, oh, wow, God, what do you want to say this morning? God, I want to spend time with you. And it's just like,
wow,
how powerful is abiding? And,
very.
You know, and it's just like, that's just the excitement because we can really miss the dots that connect, that this led to this, that this led to this. And if you go back in Acts 8, I think about, you know, the Bible talks about Philip. And Philip, again, was a man, and an angel of the Lord just said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And I was thinking about that, just soaking on that, and it's just like, that's not exactly across the street. Jerusalem to the Gaza Strip, I mean, Jerusalem's on like the eastern border of Israel, to the west side, over by the ocean, southwest side of Israel. That's a long journey. But he was willing to go. He knew God's voice. God said, okay, go. And what I think is significant is the fact that it says the desert road. Not a paved road, not a covered road, not a road that has, you know, it's shielded from the rain. It's a desert road. It's going to be a difficult, a long, but he was willing to go. But what was Zoe?
So you're saying that Ananias not only spent time with God.
Philip.
Philip.
Yeah.
He heard and he obeyed.
Yes.
Wow.
He was willing to obey the voice of the Lord. Well, what is so exciting is that on his way, he didn't even reach Gaza yet. He was just willing to go. God, have your way in my life. What is your will? Your will be done, not mine, right? So he goes. He comes across this guy reading the word. Ends up, the guy's in Isaiah, reading it. And the Holy Spirit unctions him to go stand by his car, basically.
Right.
This guy's reading the word.
He had a car?
Well, it says his chariot.
Okay.
And and he's standing, and he hears him, and the guy that Philip encountered was reading Isaiah, and he says, you know, who's he speaking about? And at that moment, Philip starts just sharing him the word, just sharing him about who Jesus is. And it doesn't say the whole encounter, but basically the man says, I want to be baptized. Why not get baptized here? But the encouraging thing was, it says who this man was. He was a eunuch to the Ethiopian people underneath the queen. God used Philip to reach a nation, to reach a people, to reach the Ethiopian people. Philip had no idea.
Yeah.
But that day, he heard the voice of the Lord. He knew what the voice of the Lord was, that still small voice, and he was willing to go. He abided. He spent time, but he was also willing to obey. And that is just so stirring me because the devil's going to do everything he can to say, like, you know, it's really not that important what you're doing. You know, you can skip it today. You know, it's okay if you only skip one day. It's okay if you only skip 1 week. But I also think about, it's just like the when I was soaking on this, it just, God just reminded me about Mordecai Ham. And most people, it's like, even as I say this, people don't know who Mordecai Ham was. But the thing is, though, he was an evangelist that God used in the early 1900s, and he was just sharing message after message after message. And one day he encountered a young man, shared the gospel with him, and this young man said yes to Jesus. But that young man was Billy Graham. And it's not necessarily just about, you know, God, I want to spend time with you just so I can, you know, reach the Pauls or Sauls. But it's just like, what is God going to do if we're just willing to go and spend time with him? Because Mordecai had no idea what was going to happen that day. That morning when he spent time with the Lord, that morning when God gave him a message to share, did he know that he was going to reach Billy Graham, that reached the nations? And I even think about that there was a young minister in, I think, like the 1960s or 70s, but he responded to a mother's beckoning call, and he ended up ministering to the bedside of a drug addict who had OD'd, and he was just at his end. hit rock bottom, and ended up that this drug addict gave his life to Jesus. But what this minister did not know at that time is that he was ministering to Steve Hill, an evangelist who was a revivalist who ended up encountering and changing nations and sharing the gospel. And that's the thing. It's just like, if we're willing to go, if we're willing to spend time and just go after God and say, Lord, your will be done in my life. And I just really began to think, it's just like the most powerful thing that we can do is say yes to the will of God. Mm-hmm. Will we go that desert road? Will we go even when we don't know where it's going to lead to, but we're just willing to go and allow God to use us on the way? Like you were saying in one of the recent programs, it's just like, you know, there was a prophecy about me and I'm going to do all these things. It's just like, no. Just go and just spend time with God and watch what God does on the way.
Wow. That's so amazing, because oftentimes people want to pray, you know, and are waiting to for an answer, you know, for their prayer, but they're not looking to be the answer to a prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and you were talking about Ananias and Saul, and you think about, man, this is so amazing, you know, the Lord gives Ananias a vision, you know, and in the middle of this vision, he's just telling them, hey, there's a man who's praying.
Yeah.
There's a man who's praying. And Ananias gives him a word of knowledge. I mean, God gives him a word, you know, straight street. Yeah. He told him exactly.
Specifics.
Straight street. This is where you're going to go.
Uh-huh.
And this is what you're going to do. And you're going to do what you see. What, you know, this like scale's going to come off.
Yeah.
He's blind right now. He's been shut down for 3 days. And God downloads basically to Ananias what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And how beautiful is that when we have such intimacy with the Lord that we're actually inquiring of him.
God, what do you see for today?
What do you want? What do you want? And one of the things that I've noticed in my own encounters with God, Stephen, you probably same thing as we've talked about this before, but you know, when you're thinking about the Lord all the time and you're inquiring of him and you're asking and you're dialoguing and he's really your best friend. So, you know, yes, Lord, he begins to share with you the things that are very closest to his heart. And you know what's close to his heart? People.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll begin to just share with you and tell you what's going on in their, you know, what's going on with their life, that they're suffering. And he'll give you words of knowledge and insight that you have no idea. And you just say, this is what the Lord showed me. And they're like, oh my goodness, it's exactly it. And because God has compassion, he wants to reach his people. But you know, he doesn't have a plan B, plan A. He wants to do it through me, he wants to do it through you.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if we're not positioning ourselves, if we're not even listening to the voice of God, if we don't have a relationship with God?
Yeah.
How can we be the one to reach anybody else?
I think about the many, I've heard someone share it before, that they were just crying out to God and they saw so many of the injustices in their community and the people around them. And they were like, God, do something. God, do something. And they were waiting for God to respond. Mm. And then God just said, you do something. And it's just like Jesus did everything on the cross and he now sends us and he says, now go and make disciples. Go and tell people. I gave you the message. Mm. And the amazing thing is like that when we're willing to go, you know, the word says we are his hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, you know, I only did what I saw the Father do and I only said what I heard the Father say. And if we would do that, it's limitless what God can do if we allow him to work through us.
Isn't this exciting?
Yeah.
Listen, God gives us the great privilege to be in intimacy with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, to hear his voice. This is the most wonderful, beautiful adventure we could ever have. Who needs the bungee jump? You know what I'm saying? When you can walk with Jesus and do whatever the Father asks of you to do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know her. She's a supermom, and you just can't measure up. I'm John Fuller, and Jill Savage has some thoughts on today's Focus on the Family Minute about the perils of comparison.
We compare our messy insides, the challenges that we face, the mistakes that we make, the less than ideal marriage that we have, the insecurities that we experience. And we look at other moms and we compare our messy sides to their cleaned up, outsides. Mm. Now, we don't know really what's going on their insides,
right.
But very quickly we size them up and we make a determination that we're either better off than they are or we're less than they are.
We all compare ourselves to others, but that's just not wise. Concentrate instead on being the best mom you can be. Now, you'll find encouragement to do just that every day at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them. You go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program, because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about, my goodness, man, the power of abiding, the power of being in intimate relationship with the Lord, where you're spending time with Him, hearing His voice. And Steve, you shared some awesome examples of what happened with Ananias and Saul, what happened with Philip and the eunuch. Even what happened in the lives of Billy Graham and Steve Hill, because somebody was hearing God, somebody went. And I think about, you know, kids just can't get stuck, you know, I'm just stuck here with what happened with Ananias and Saul, because, I mean, this was a very pivotal moment in hello church history. This is one of the greatest apostles that has, you know, ever lived.
Yeah.
He wrote most of the New Testament, of course, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We're still, you know, hello, preaching out of this of the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. And Ananias was used by God to reach this man. And how he did that was amazing, because God not only allowed Saul to have a vision, but he actually spoke to Ananias in a vision.
Yeah.
And hello, God still gives visions today.
Yes, He does.
And what was amazing about this is that in this vision, Ananias is getting, I mean, words of knowledge with pinpoint accuracy. Yeah. He's like, God's telling him, Ananias, there's a man.
Mm-hmm.
He was blind, you know what I'm saying, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He is praying.
Gave his address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's praying, right? And he had a vision. And in this vision, I'm going to read it. This is what he says. In Damascus, this is Acts 9:10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, that's you, come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. I mean, Saul saw this. And then God's telling Ananias in a vision, this is what this man saw.
Yeah.
And this is where you're going to go. You're going to go to Straight Street. And I'm sure he probably pulled out that papyrus, whatever he had, and he started scratching his down.
Yeah.
And he went with it. And he went, and because he heard, he saw, and he obeyed. You know, you have to look, and then you have to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, and then and what do you see? What do you see? What is God showing you? What is revealing to you? What is he speaking to you in his still small voice?
Mm-hmm.
And then we just obey what God has shown us, what God has told us, and amazing things happen. I mean, but God's needing a willing vessel.
Right.
God's willing someone, a Mordecai Ham, who's gonna preach the gospel so that Billy Graham could get saved.
Yeah.
You right. know, a man like Jim Summers is going to, you know, have a program out there, and Steve Hill's going to be part of the program, and he's going to be working with Jim Summers, and who knows, later on he's going to be, you know, leading a revival that shook the nation and the world, you know? And it's like, wow, we have to be obedient.
And that has been such an encouraging to me, like, just as I've been soaking on that, it's like we will never really know who it was and how we have reached others for Jesus until that day that we stand before him, until that day that we stand at the gates and people come rushing to us. You know, and we talked about that as far as 90 minutes in heaven. But it's just like, even beyond that, it's just like the fact that we're able to do it with Jesus, the fact that Jesus wants to do it through us. It's such a beautiful encounter that he loves us so much that he wants us to be involved.
Isn't that amazing?
And that's just like, who are you that you're mindful of us? Like, wow, we get to do it with Jesus.
Is that beautiful?
It's awesome.
Is that beautiful? I mean, I just think about it, I'm just like, wow, amazing, amazing. I think about, and you say that we get to do it with Jesus. I think about, you know, the passing of Steve Hill. We've mentioned him in the program times past. A great revivalist, if you've never heard of him before. Was the evangelist that preached night after night at the Brownsville Revival for many, many years. Preached to over 4 million folks right there at that revival, and then God's used them to preach all over the nation and the world. Man of God who just passed away, and many people are praying for revival, believing for revival, not just revival, but just, you know, awakening, outpouring. And God has spoken prophetically that you know, the outpouring of Spirit is coming.
Yeah.
And you would think, you know, such a time as this, you know, like, you know, if God ever needed a person, you know, God needs us all. But you would think, like, God, you know, Steve Hill be a good person to keep around right now, you know.
Yeah, you think, right?
He's only 60 years old. I mean, this man was loved you on fire for, you know, used mightily. He'd be a good one to keep around. But we don't know the plans of God.
Right.
You know, Bob Jones was shown that there'll be a billion souls that are going to be won and come into the kingdom of God. Think about this. 1 billion souls. God told him, and that before he passed away, he would see the beginning of 1 billion souls. Mm-hmm. And Bob just passed away within a month's time. Steve and Bob passed a month's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, you know, when the revival happened back in 1995, the Brownsville revival, Steve's mentor, Leonard Ravenhill, his spiritual father, who, I mean, wrote a book called The Why Revival Tarries. This man, awesome man of God, who just believed God and just was a righteous preacher like Noah. I mean, this, amazing. And then right before the outpour, right before the Brownsville revival, one of the longest revivals to hit our nation, Leonard Ravenhill passes away right before that.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, God.
Who?
What?
The timing.
Maybe you would have let Leonard Ravenhill see this. And I was praying one time in the back. And,
I'm sure he did.
Well, this is what I got. This is what I got. You know, I'm out in the yard, and I'm just walking, and I'm just... This is the time that Steve passed away, and I'm just trying to process all of this because, you know, it's just, you know, wow.
Yeah.
A general has just passed away, and I'm just pondering it in my heart, and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you know, right before the outpouring at Brownsville, you know, Leonard Ravenhill passed away, and I know there's an outpouring coming, and here Steve passes away, and it's like, Lord, you know, are you maybe you're saying, I am going to use Steve. I'm going to bring him up here with me. I'm going to bring him up here with me, and we're going to do this thing together. Me, Bob, Leonard, all of us, and he's going to have a front row seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started thinking that Leonard Ravenhill had a front row seat to the whole thing. He knew what was going to happen, you know, right there. He was seeing the whole thing with the great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? We don't know the things of God. We don't know why God does what he does. But hey, Let's say more, Lord. Let's be ones that say, God, hey, you're in complete control.
Do it again,
God. Do it again.
Do it again, Lord. Bring revival.
Bring revival, the outpouring of your spirit. We want to see souls saved. We want to see souls come into the kingdom of God. There is nothing more exciting than seeing souls come into the kingdom of God to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And it's just absolutely amazing. You know, I don't have a direct quote for you, but Rick Joyner said about revival, he says, listen, you know, if it's not revival, we don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. But if it is revival, there is nothing else more important happening than revival at that time.
All right.
So let's get all in. Let your hunger be stirred. Cry out and say, God, we want a move of God. Rend our hearts. Touch us, God. Cause us to repent. Lord, help us to seek your face. Dear God, end abortion and send revival. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying, but I'm just believing. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience all around the nation and the world. We're excited to be with you today, and God's just sharing so much. We're having a great conversation. We've been having several, you know, we're several programs back to back. But of course, joining me today in the studio is a producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, 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 man. Aren't you excited?
Very excited.
I mean,
Pat being excited.
Listen, he's excited. Trust me.
You just can't see it.
You got to know the excited look.
That eyebrow is a little bit higher.
Yes, you got. See, now you know.
That is
now you know
him.
That's a clue.
See, the eyebrows twitching. That's he's jumping on the inside.
He cannot contain it.
And of course, Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Well, you know, in our previous program, we were talking about Just the power of abiding, the power of having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And you may be hearing us talk a lot about abiding, and you're wondering, okay, cool, abiding. It's John 15. Abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And so when we're plugged into the vine, when we are in relationship with Jesus, what's flowing through Jesus flows through us. And so it's our way of being intimate and connected with him. And if you want to abide with the Lord and you say, you know, I don't know how, or, you know, I'm so stirred up. I hear about abiding often on VFN TV and VFN, you know, the radio program. I want to abide. I want to do that. Well, listen, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, you know, and get a plan. It's free, doesn't cost you a thing, but, you know, we promise you, you abide with Jesus, he will change your life. And, you know, right now, if you ask a lot of Christians, you know, why do you read the Bible? And they may just tell you, well, that's because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what Christians do. We read the Bible. And let me share something with you. You know, abiding is not something that you got to do. It's something that you get to do. Yeah, it is your pleasure when you wake up in the morning, understanding that the most important conversation you will have that day, the most important meeting that you'll have that day, is your meeting with Jesus. It'll change your life. It'll change your life because you have access to the Lord. You have access. I mean, and he wants to talk with you. He wants to unveil himself to you. But you know what? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. You know, it's the glory of men to search the truths and to search revelation, and God will begin to unfold his manifold wisdom to you, and you're going to be like, amazed. And because, you know, in previous program we talked about men abided and had a relationship with the Lord, God spoke to them very specific things that we're enjoying today because they heard God, but they just didn't hear God, Pat.
Right.
Steve, they followed, they did.
They responded. They did something.
They did something with what God said. And today, you know, sad to say many in the church are listening and they're hearing, you know, and they're filled with amazing truth. But, you know, are they responding to the truth that they heard? Mm-hmm. And, you know, after a while, it's like, you know, you need to stop getting those prophetic words because, you know, you're going to be held accountable for those words.
Exactly.
You got to, like, you know, when you're young
in
the Lord.
Fear and trembling.
Yeah, you're young in the Lord. You're like, yeah, a prophetic word, another prophetic word. It's like, well, hey, you know, you going to do something? Yeah. You know, you're going to work, cooperate with God. And if you missed one of our previous programs and segments, we talked about God's writing a story, and you know, when you cooperate with God, the story ends well. The story ends well.
That's right.
But if you don't cooperate with him and you don't yield yourself to him, then you know, it doesn't end well. It's really just that simple. But you know, we're talking about the outpouring and being hungry and anticipating the move of God. You know, and we talked about generals like Steve Hill, Bob Jones, and Leonard Ravenhill, and others like that, and how all these men, those three in particular, just passed away
recently.
Yeah. Before the outpouring. Not you know, Steve and Bob, they passed here recently, right, before the outpouring that God said he's, you know, billion souls are coming in. But Leonard Ravenhill passed away before the Brownsville revival that went on for years. And that saw millions of people come to the Lord. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord. Millions of people have been infected. Over 4.5, I believe, something like that, some number like that.
Right.
Came to
those doors.
3100 West DeSoto Street and in Pensacola. And it was just an amazing, amazing time.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I can never get tired of talking about revival and the move of God and the power of God. I mean, night after night after night after night, seeing people weep at the altar, seeing people's lives being changed. The testimonies that you hear in the baptismal pool were just amazing. Mm-hmm. And what people were, the raw testimony of what God did in someone's life is just, you look back and you go, Jesus, you're amazing. I know what you did in my life. But when you look around at others' lives that you know that you walked with and you hear their story and you're like, wow, Jesus did that for you too?
Exactly.
He's amazing. And, yeah. And he did that for you too? That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I love hearing. It's just like, you know, what is Jesus saying to you? What has he done? And just hear people just giving credit to Jesus and being able to just witness that transformation.
Yes.
There was a day I encountered him, and look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And seeing that absolute 180 transformation in people's lives and how God is just doing miracles in our midst is, it's amazing. It's so encouraging.
Mm-hmm. It is. Powerful. It is. You know, if you're bored, in being a believer, listen.
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. You got to find out. You got to, you know. Are you abiding? That's, you know, first thing. Do a checkup, you know, check up from the neck up, you know, or check neck up from the neck down to check your heart.
Some.
You know what I'm saying? But find out what's going on, because, you know, the cure for boredom, two things. The cure for boredom in God is you're not abiding. You know, you've lost your first love. You need to have intimacy with the Lord and come back and do. Remember the heights of which you've fallen. You know what I'm saying? You need to go back and say, God, bring me to that place. Bring me to that place. And the other thing is evangelism. I mean, when you see people come to God and you see people give their lives to the Lord and become disciples, they get grounded in truth. They allow a foundation to be established in their life. Man, there is nothing more beautiful and more exciting to see people make Jesus not just Savior, okay,
yeah.
as if you can separate it, but Savior and Lord,
mm-hmm.
where they take the word of God, and now they begin to implement it in their life, and they begin to practice what the word of God says, and they're lining up their family, they're lining up the decisions that they're making, they're putting themselves, you know, on the timeline of scripture, if you will, and saying, where do I measure up? You know, let me get things in alignment with God. And when you become his disciple, not a disciple in name, but a disciple indeed, when you become a disciple, it means a follower. You know, today people say, well, I'm just a Christian. Well, what does that mean today?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a Christian, you know. But why don't we say we're a follower of Christ? I'm a follower of Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means I follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He leads, and I do what he does, and I say what he says, and I follow. I follow. He's leading. And if we can reclaim that again and understand that that's where we want to be. We just want to be a disciple. We want to be a follower. You know, Christian is Christ-like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ-like.
Yeah, that's a significant difference, because it's just like a lot of people are quick to just say, hey, I'm a Christian. But most don't know, like you said, what that means. And that's where the difference is, because it's just like Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing is, it's just like if we love him, we're going to want to be with him. And if he says go do something, we're going to want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just it's like you were saying before, it's out of that overflow of love, because we're so caught up in him, we would want nothing more than for others to know who he is and go tell others and spend time with him.
To me, it's a natural byproduct of love. I've never seen anyone who's about to get married who doesn't want to talk about their wedding day.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to talk about the person that they're in love with. You know, take a bride who's getting married. I mean, her whole life is consumed at that moment. Mm-hmm. They're planning the wedding, planning the dress, planning, you know, the whole thing.
Some grooms.
Some grooms.
Every conversation they have. I was going to say, almost every conversation they have, that when there's a new bride, she's going to start a conversation leading with her left hand, because she's going to show everybody, look at my ring, look at my ring, look at my ring. This is what we're planning. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, okay, she's getting married. There's no question. And it's just like, if Jesus has become the Lord of your life, who knows about him?
That's
who
right.
are you telling? And somebody once said to me is that if I forgot how, correct me how it goes. It's just like, but if Jesus in your life has not affected others' lives, then it hasn't affected your life.
Ooh.
And that is so the truth, because it's just like, if we love him, we're going to want to tell others, because
We're compelled, for Pete's sake. You talk my ear off about Disney. I mean, you talk my ear off about what you just
bought. The ball game you watched last night.
Yeah, you talk my ear off about, you know, the something you bought at the store. And it's like, come on. Yeah. I'm just not an evangelist. I just, you know, it's not my passion. I'm you know, I am into intercession or something. And it's like, what do you mean? You don't have a problem communicating. You don't have no problem communicating about the restaurant you just ate at and what you just, you know, digested.
Yeah.
Right? We need to, it's like,
okay. What are you talking about? What are you telling? Because you're always telling people, you're telling other people about what's important to you. Whether it's your team, it's your job, it's a vacation, it's, you know, the shoes you just bought or the meal you just had. It's just like, if that's important to you, okay, awesome. But if Jesus is important to you, he would be filling some of those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, that's the joy of the overflow of, you know, walking with God, is that we're just here for a short time. It really is a vapor, and we will spend eternity with him. And, you know, funerals are one of those things that you get a chance to go to, and it's interesting the amount of people that everyone says, you know, well, at least they're in a better place. You know, my question is like, how do you know? You know, like, if they didn't want God now and they didn't want to darken the doors of anywhere where the church was gathering and experiencing God now and reading, why would you be so cruel and put them in a place where they didn't want to be?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just being real today and having just a conversation. I mean, am I right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's very true.
And the thing about it is that, listen, we just got to get so real. I'll never forget when I was a chaplain at the LSU Medical Center. It didn't matter, Steve, what these people were going through. I mean, I've seen some of the most horrific accidents. One thing I've learned, that you can plan to go to a lot of places, ball game, movies, dinner, you know, whatever. Most people don't plan to go to the hospital. I mean, that is not a trip that people put in their planner.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, the hospital is always full. And I don't know who I was just talking to about this, but I remember a family that was going on a trip they were in Louisiana. They were going to Mexico for a vacation, and the whole entire family was in an SUV. And they weren't more than 15 minutes on the interstate. 15 minutes.
Wow.
And a car swerved in front of them. I don't even think they hit anybody. And their SUV, because the father jerked the steering wheel so hard, somehow it flipped.
Wow.
And when it flipped, a 14-year-old girl flew out of the window.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know how many feet she flew, but she landed in the middle of, the median, the grass median.
Mm-hmm.
And she got all banged up. And here the whole family comes into the hospital, and they're all on different floors in this hospital.
Oh.
The father's on one floor in ICU. The mother's in another floor. The children are in the children's section. And they have no idea what's happening. They're completely out of control. You know, all they know is that their family members are hurt, but they don't know. And can you imagine, you're a parent in the hospital, you know you're in a car wreck, and your child is somewhere in this hospital, and you can't even communicate with the doctor what's going on with my child because you're messed up. You're busted up. And it was such a beautiful thing. God used me in that moment to be able to go on all of these different floors to minister to this family and run messages and talk to them and just be there with them. And God ministered them so powerfully. When they got out of the hospital, they invited me to their home.
Wow.
And I was able to preach the gospel to them. I had dinner with them at their house. And it's just amazing. You just don't know. You know, tomorrow is written in the fool's calendar. Mm. All you and I have is today.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back from this break, we're just going to continue just to talk about seizing the moment. You know, life is but a vapor. And if you die today, would you be happy with your life? Would you be happy, you know, with what has happened and transpired? And, you know, what's that going to be like when you see the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season. Let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. There's so many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word just coming out that moment in time from the VFN Dream Center. You need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the thing, the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. I didn't read it for a long time because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to talk about it, spacious skies, purple seas, and purple mountains and majesty. And it had nothing to do with that. And but one consistent theme, other than, of course, God throughout the book, is sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And if you want to be a part, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part, a player in the kingdom, if you want to quit being a spectator, if you're ready to get involved and do, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not an itching ear dictator demanding from others what you want to hear, but somebody who says, I want to hear from God and I want to be a doer of the word and blessing all that I do. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
I thought about you yesterday.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Yeah. Oh, Pat?
No, you.
Oh,
you.
Thank you. Hey, wow. Yeah,
you going to think about me?
Well, you know, Grace trying to lose all this weight, you know.
Yes, yes,
she's
thank
on this, you,
you
know.
Thank
and
you.
So, Teresa is the woman God gave me. You know, she needed to go pick up something, and so we happened to stop at this bakery that I took you to.
Oh, wow!
And I saw this cannoli.
Oh, the bakery with the wet cake that was like we got shot at a daycare or whatever it was.
Talk about that bakery.
Yeah. You don't wear flip flops in a high crime zone in Jersey. I'm thinking, like, how do you run? You know, they got this Floridian, you know, sitting here, and we got these kids looking at us like, we're packing. You better get out of here. You know, and it's in your diaper? I mean, come on. How could you be packing? He's like a little small kid. We had to do a 5-point turnaround in a playground in Jersey with flip flops on.
All right.
No.
You should have seen the pay. He goes, oh my gosh, I'm wearing flip flops. I got to change my shoes. Yeah.
What was the lady's name that sold you shoes back when you was little? No, back when you was younger. You was younger. What was her name?
Her name was Homegirl.
Homegirl. And he told me about her before we got there.
And he didn't believe me. You should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You're calling her Homegirl? Yeah, why would you call her Homegirl, you know? And of course he goes there.
And we walk in the store, so he's like, yeah, right, okay. The Homegirl, that's her name. So I walk in. And she says, hey, yo, what's up?
She does. She's about 70.
Yeah. She said, this is home, girl. What's up?
Yeah.
I got some kicks for you. I got some shoes. I got some Louis. What you want?
Yeah, she sure did. She really did. And the second she found out that Home Slice wasn't going to buy nothing, you know, she's shut down, didn't she?
Shut down. It was that or either the fact that you pulled out the phone and tried to record her. Home girl.
Oh, did I get it on video? That would be really good because people just don't believe that was.
That was funny.
That was a moment. And then, of course, then we're trying to, bust out of there with flip-flops on. And right in front of us is like, bad boys, what you going to do? Remember that? Right in front of us, you have the Jersey police that are like drawing down on this car. In front of us, and I'm not driving, John's driving, you know, so we're lost. His GPS is stolen. And so here we are, right in front of us, there's no way to get around. We're literally right in front of a takedown, right? It was a takedown in front of us. I mean, it looked like what's that, Cops, the show Cops.
Yeah.
You know, we should have just turned on the music in the car and watched it. It would have been like, an early.
He's like, back up.
Yeah, back because right. You know when you start shooting, but you now know at the Empire when they start shooting.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, it's not just the bad guys' bullets that, that hit things.
That's right.
You know, and so he's like getting closer. You know, the worst thing in the world is to be in a circle with having a gunfight. You know, I mean, I'll never forget that. I was hunting once, and in the
you hunted.
Yeah, yeah, that was once. You
really?
Yes,
once. Yes, once. I my dad's
and fished
a hunter.
Once too. I think once.
You never fished?
Oh, I fished.
I remember taking you fishing, teaching you how to catch mullet. Remember that? We're not gonna bring up how we caught them, but we caught a lot. Remember how they were just like, just you know, there's nothing like a stick of dynamite. No, that's not true. There was no dynamite, but anyway, we caught a lot. So many, they were just jumping all over the place. And we caught so many, it was like we cleaned for days.
Yes. Right? Oh, yes.
For days. And we were explaining, you know, to John, this is a fin. This is a fish's mouth. And, you know, we've been fishers for quite some time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski. And we were just talking about, my goodness, wrapping up and just amazing, the power of abiding, the power of hearing God's voice and obeying. And what can happen when we just spend time to be with the Lord? And it, man, we just went into revival and great awakening, and we're just so stirred. I mean, we're just desperate men that just want to see a move of God so bad, and we're excited for God and who He is, and
that's right.
We want to encourage others to be excited about the Lord as well, and when you realize that life is truly a vapor, and you notice children that are growing up, and you realize if they're getting older, I guess that means that I'm getting older, right? That's, it's like, is that how that works? You know, and you see the transformation in their life, and you're like, okay, you know, this puppy's about to wrap up here in a minute, and so the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during a lifetime of that opportunity. So we're trying to seize it with everything that we have, but you know, we want to talk about the power of prayer. You know, prayer is so amazing. So just you hear folks sometimes say, you know, I just can't pray more than 2 or 3 minutes, and you know, there's a revelation that was lost there. But you know, one of the most powerful things about prayer is it doesn't matter how pretty your words are. Prayer is just a conversation with God. I mean, if you know how to talk, you can pray. Because all you're doing is talking with God, and you're either thanking Him for what He has done, you're actually either standing in the gap and asking Him to move on someone's life, and maybe you're asking Him to do something in your life. But that's what prayer is, and the thing about prayer is that it has no limitation. It's really what connects you with God. I mean, all in intercession, all prayers start in the heart of God, and what happens is God allows you to be burdened with something, and then it comes like full circle, and then you release it upon the earth. You release it back up to the Lord, and just kind of this big old circle happens where you just, you know, starts in the heart of God, touches your heart, you release it back up to God, and just keeps going like that. But it has no limitations. If I want it right now to, you know, affect the New York, if you will, or London, or, you know, I wanted to go across the world, that have to, you know, get an airline ticket, get some clothes together and luggage and physically go to these locations. And, you know, it costs money, resources, time, you know, all those different factors. But when you understand that prayer has no such limits, that when you're praying for someone in London, or you're praying for someone in Uganda, or those that are listening to us in Egypt, that, hey, we can instantly be there in prayer. We're in prayer. We can be there because prayer can go through ceilings and roofs, and it can go through all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, right.
We're present, and who we truly are. Think about it. I mean, we're a triune being. We're made in the image of God. God's not made in the image of us humans, right? We're made in the image of God.
Right.
We're spirit, soul, and body. But who we are at the true core of our being is that we're a spirit.
Yeah.
We're a spirit that just happens to have a body. And if you go to a funeral, I mean, it's a really sobering thing because you look at someone in a casket, you realize that's really just a body there. The essence, the spirit of who that person is gone. They're not there anymore. And their soul's gone. It's just a body. And if we're made in the image of God, then we need to understand, you know, to better understand who we are, we need to understand who God is. He's a spirit. He's invisible, and he's immortal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so our spirit is invisible. You know, we are a spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're immortal. We will live forever. Now, the destination of where we live, that's going to be determined
right.
by what we do here on earth. But, you know, the suit that we have called this body is just for us to be able to function and relate on this earth. But when we pray, you know, really, it's our spirit praying, and our spirit can be anywhere that we're praying.
What you in think? The name of Jesus.
Yeah. You think, well, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, if you read your Bible and you can see that a physical body can be translated from one location to the other. I mean, when Elijah was dealing with one of the servants of King Ahab, he's like, go tell King Ahab. He's like, well, no, man, you may be picked up and taken off somewhere. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And he's like, and Philip was translated down the road. Listen, prayer has no limitation.
Hmm.
We can pray and affect the world by just sitting down, standing up, and going after God and communicating with him and asking God to just move in powerful ways on the behalf of men that they would respond to him. I want to encourage you in your prayer life, engage God in a special way. Get a fresh revelation and a fresh vision for how you communicate with God and how you partner with him for folks and people to encounter him in a great and powerful way. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.